Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Church. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our hosts, Apostle Etta Banks and Minister Tamika Garnes, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, beloved. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. It is so good to be here with you today. I'm also the pastor of New Vision for Life Church, and truly I thank the Lord for the opportunity to walk in that role. And of course, you know, I have with me this morning my beloved, truthful confidant, my beautiful, precious sunshine. Yes, sunshine. That's what she is for me today. Sunshine and just a loving, wonderful person. And I thank God for her being in my life. My co-host, Minister Tamika Garnes. Good morning, beloved. How are you?
Good morning, beautiful, beloved apostles. I am well. I am well. I'm happy to be alive. Just so thankful that God allowed us to see another day, because I think sometimes we just take that for granted or we really don't think about it. But I just thank God for allowing us to open our eyes and, you know, be able to get out the bed, be able to talk, be able to see, all of those things. So to God be the glory.
Amen. Amen. To God be the glory. I tell you, with the many calls that I've had this week, just to hear you say that, you know, we were able to get out of the bed today, you know, able to actually use our voices today, able to be here. Truly, it is a blessing. You know, again, something that people take for granted. And, you know, and I'll mention what I'm talking about, a little further into our show today. But, yeah, this is a good day to give thanks unto the Lord. And I'm grateful for it. I am grateful for it. So I'd like to say good morning to Tamika, my darling, my sweetheart. Good morning, precious heart. Good morning. I pray that the Lord is blessing you on this day and that everything that you need for today, that it would come to pass in the name of Jesus, that it would come to pass. And I do pray that you find joy within this day, for the joy of the Lord truly is your strength. Be encouraged in whatever it is that you have to tackle today. Be encouraged in it. Know that you are not alone and that God walks with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. That was for Tamika. Praise be unto God. And I want to say good morning to Joyce and Lester Richardson. God bless you. Good morning to Joyce in New York. Praise be unto God. To Deacon Banks, good morning to you. Good morning to Anita, Prophetess Kim. Good morning to Deacon Farr. God bless you, man of God. It's so good to see you on board here this morning. So God bless you. God bless you. It's been a while. Praise be unto God. Good morning to Teresa, Isaiah in Chicago, and Isaiah in Pennsylvania. Good morning to you all. Good morning to Denise and Prophetess Dorn, all of the members of New Vision for Life that joins us. Good morning to you all. Truly, we are so grateful and so just so happy that you took the time out of your day to be with us today. I'm going to ask you, beloved, would you like a few words before you go ahead and open us up in prayer, please?
Sure, sure. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. We are very happy to see you all on. We thank you so much for being with us on Saturdays. As I always say, you could be doing something else, but you decided to give up an hour of your time to just come and partake and listen to you, what the Lord have us to share. And, you know, just hoping that you all are sharing with others and just really hoping that this information really touches and blesses you all and those that you share it with. So, again, we just want to give God glory because this is his platform and this is just one of the ways that he is allowing us to share, you know, his word and share his gospel, another way to make him famous. Not us, not Apostle and I, but another way to make him famous. So to God be the glory for all that he has done and continuing to do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name, Father. Hallelujah. We bless you. We honor you. We love you, Father God, for there is none like you. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Father God. Lord, we just thank you for another day, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that you kept us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, that you allowed us to open our eyes on this morning, Lord. We thank you, Father God, that you are doing wonderful things in the lives of your people, Lord God, even if they don't feel it or see it right now. Lord God, we know that you are working and that you are doing wonderful things in their lives, Father God, and we just want to give you praise, Lord God, because you are the one making all these things happen, oh God. And then you choose us, Father God, to carry things on in the earth, Lord God. You have given each and every one of us an assignment, Lord God. And I pray that we say yes to that assignment in this season, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that we will put down, Lord God, our will, that we, Father God, will be available for you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord, that we will put to the side, Lord God, all of those things that cause us to take our focus off of you, Lord. And I pray that in this season you will begin to identify those things. You will begin to show us those things, whether it's a job, whether it's a business, whether it's a person, Lord God, whatever it is, Father God, I pray that you will begin to show us what has taken our focus off of you. What have we put before you? What has become greater than you, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God? And we just thank you, Lord God, for never leaving us or forsaking us. We thank you so much, Lord God, that you even reveal to us and show us our ways, Lord God, our wrong ways, in the name of Jesus, oh God. And you just begin to help us through those things. You begin to help us get rid of those things. Hallelujah, Father. And we just want to say thank you, Lord God. Thank you for your grace and your mercy, Lord God. Thank you for your protection in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord God. Thank you, Father God, for your unconditional love. Thank you, Father God, for your faithfulness in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your joy. Thank you for your happiness, Father. Lord, there is none like you, and we just continue to praise your name. No situation can make us turn away from you. Hallelujah. No situation, no person. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We just bless you right now. We bless you right now, and we know that many a times the enemy speaks, and he speaks lies, and sometimes we're so deep in our situation that we begin to listen to the lies of the enemy. And Lord God, I just pray that you break that spell right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord God. Break it, Lord God. Break it, break it, break it in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. So we give you us, Lord God. We give you us, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God. We give you our hearts, Father, that you may do whatever it is that you want to do within our hearts, oh God. And we just continue to give you praise. And we just thank you, Lord God, that you are the same God yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you, Lord God, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And we thank you, Lord God, that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us, which is Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit power, Holy Spirit power, Holy Spirit, have your way. Have your way on this show today. Have your way in the hearts of your people. Have your way in the minds of your people. Hallelujah, oh God. And just, Lord, I just pray that you do a new thing within us, oh God, a new thing, a wonderful thing, a beautiful thing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that there is none like you. Lord God, we love you, we bless you, and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, beloved. Thank you so very much. Thank you. To God be all the glory and the honor. To God be all the glory and the honor. All right, beloved. All righty. Well, listen, today we're going to talk about depression and depression in Christians. The majority of my phone calls this week dealt with depression, and I myself, maybe 2 weeks ago, I think it was 2 weeks ago, I had to deal with the fact that I felt depressed. I just felt like, you know, nothing was going right. Nothing was going right, dealing with a lot of the concerns, you know, that I have for the different members of my family, the different members of the church. I felt lonely and alone, two different things. So I felt lonely and alone, even though, you know, there were members that were still cooking for me and bringing me meals. But still felt disconnected. And it was a hard time for me, and I wasn't really sharing that, you know, with my armor bearer, you know, Tamika. I didn't share at that particular time, you know, what I was feeling. And then I had to do like David did. You know, David said, you know, there's times you just have to encourage yourself. And so you got to really get back into the word, you know. And I said, get back into the word, because during that time of feeling out of it, you know, you don't read the word as much as you were reading it before. You don't pray as much as you were praying before. Or if you are, you're praying and you're praying for everybody else and not praying for yourself. And the list goes on and on and on. But whatever the case may be, I myself walked through that season there, whether it was a day or a week, whatever the case may be, I walked through some depression. So then after I came up out of it, I believe when I did share it with Minister Tabika and she prayed for me, I think the very next day I was in a different place. Am I correct about that, beloved?
Yeah, yes, ma'am. But one quick thing, you said that you didn't tell me, but the Holy Spirit told me,
because
I sent you that text.
Yes.
About asking you how you were, and.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And so the Holy Spirit did reveal to her, you know, that something was wrong with me. And so she did contact me, and then we prayed, and the very next day I was in a different place. And I felt as I dealt with the calls that I dealt with this week, that part of that was preparation for what I had to deal with this week. And almost everything that I have gone through in life or dealing with the members of my church or other people that call me for counseling and so forth and so on, somehow or another, you know, I've had some part in it as far as my experience and then overcoming and allowing me to be able to share via the Holy Spirit how to deal with these things, via my experience, how I dealt with these things, encounters with God and how we dealt with these things. And so it makes it easier for me to speak to the people that I'm dealing with. So lo and behold, this week was a call about depression. It was a call about depression. So, and I know that because of COVID, because of jobs, because of children in school because of our physical health and monies and so forth and so on, that yes, it can be a very, very, very depressing time. It can be. And I know that there's a lot of conflict with Christians admitting that they are depressed. You know, it seems to be a stigma in the community, you know, that Christians, you know, we've got Jesus. There's no way we can be depressed. It's the same thing, a little stronger amongst blacks, the fact that we also don't do therapy and speak to psychologists and psychiatrists, and a lot don't speak to our pastors as much as we should. We don't want to reveal things that are going on in our life. We don't want it to be said that we were weak and we couldn't handle things. And it's rougher, tougher, harder on black males than it is on any other nationality in dealing with depression. They not only have they not only have the thing to deal with that men are supposed to be so strong, not emotional, got to have all the answers, got to fix everything as men, period, then dealing with it with a black man with all the other issues that we have. And I said we like I was one of the guys, okay? Like I was one of the guys with all the other issues that we have. Praise be unto God, sir, I see you. With all the other issues that they have on top of that, it is really rough. It is really rough. Good morning, Deacon Far Beloved. How are you, sir?
I am wonderful. I am excellent, marvelous, and wonderful. And can you hear me? Mic check. Can you hear me? Oh, okay. Uh-oh. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We can hear you. Yes, sir.
Oh. I thought I lost you. But amen. 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 And sister, you are one of the boys. You're one of the guys. Don't worry about it. You know, and what you were saying, what you're saying is true. I mean, there's a lot going on, and I thank God. I thank God for you, and I thank God for your armor bearer. And, you know, these are the things that we, in the body of Christ, you know, we talk about valley experiences after the fact. But we go mm-hmm. through them because in this walk, in the life we live, you know, a lot you said is so true. Because sometimes we have to be careful. We get to the point where we're caring for others, and we don't care for ourselves, and we want to help so many, and then we forget to help ourselves and remember that we're not disconnected, but we separate a little bit, and we lose them. We have to get recharged our battery. You say it like that, and these mm-hmm. things that happen. But I do want to say, you know, about your transparency and sharing. Because I believe someone need to hear that. Like you say, all this stuff is going on. Sometimes it's okay, then it's also okay mm-hmm. to come on and get out. And like Sister Mika said, you know, when people reach out to you, you got to be receptive because they're reaching out. God has sent them. Holy Spirit is giving them unction. And when people are reaching out to you, you know, you got to be receptive. But sometimes you got to humble yourselves and hear. When people are calling you, reaching out to you, even though you didn't tell them, but they feel something's not right with you. But that's what it is about, the connection. And for the brothers also, you know, people are calling you and reaching out to you for a reason. It's something that's got them calling you, and you have to also be receptive and to the help. And I'll say it like that. And for mm-hmm. men and brothers, you know, we gotta be open to get that help. When it presents itself, and know that we can't do it all. We can't. We some stuff I just don't. I just can't take it no more. There's nothing wrong with
right.
I just can't handle it no more. And then I'll say this, I'll stop. But you don't have to take it all on. You don't have to take it all on. Let some stuff go. Because I tell you, out of my own experience, you try to help some of these people so much or try and fix it, and then it starts wearing you down because maybe it's just not what God wants for them. Because God wants to take them through some stuff, and we're trying to prevent them from getting to that broken place God's trying to take them. And it'll eat us up. You know, so I just say that. But back to you, Apostle.
Amen, amen. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Thank you. You know, always want to hear from you. Always want to hear from you. And I give you the option. Do you want me to mute you right now or leave you open for when you want to say something else, or you want to push your button one more time beside you?
No. It's okay. It's all right. I'm good. You mute me. I'm on the road anyway, so I just want to jump
in
there.
I don't want
to be talking and driving. Then I might hit a truck or something.
Oh, no, don't do that. Don't do that. I will be very depressed if you do that, okay?
All right. You can mute me. I'm good.
Okay, sir. Okay, God bless you. God bless you. Amen, amen, amen. For those of you that are either new to the show or just have not heard Deacon Farr's voice, that is Deacon Thomas Farr. And again, he is the host on Issues, Christian Men Talk. And, you know, I'm always promoting this show, telling us, you know, get our men to go and listen to that show. He's on Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock. I don't know what's doing today, but he's on Saturday mornings at 9. And they're on Thursday evenings at 8, I believe. You can also look him up on Facebook. Definitely encourage you to listen. You know, there's so many men, I just got to tap into this real quick. There's so many men who say that they don't have male friends, and yet when they're told of avenues or venues, I should say, where there are men that you can talk to, okay? There are men that you can talk to. If you don't go to any groups, you know, where you can talk to them face-to-face, here on this show, you get the opportunity to speak, you know, and listen to issues. Christian men are talking about these particular issues. And so you have the opportunity of doing this without the stigma, because we don't like going to counselors. We don't like dealing with therapists, without the stigma of going to that, you know, but you've got men of God who share, you know, transparency. They're transparent about the issues that men deal with, black men deal with, Christian men deal with. They cover the gambit. So again, beloved, I encourage all of you, you know, get your men to listen to these shows. I believe me, you won't be disappointed. You won't be disappointed. They need to have an outlet. They need to have an outlet. All right, I'm gone off of that. Let me get back over here to our depression. Amen. So listen, saints of God, many Christians, millions of Christians, deal with depression on a daily basis, And one of the ways, a few of the ways that depression manifests would come through as sadness, low energy, frustration, suspended misery. Men have the tendency to express some of their depression through anger and aggression. And the aggression doesn't have to be violent and so forth. You have the passive-aggressive person that will show their frustration and anger and depression, you know, through that avenue. So there are many ways, you know, that depression comes forth. And a lot of times, because we don't want to think about being depressed, we overlook these signs. And so we are not as aware of them, or we don't contribute these different manifestations to being depressed. You know, you would wake up one morning and feel like, you know, I don't feel like getting up. I just want to lay here. I don't want to do anything. And so you lay there, and you lay there for the day, and the next day you get up and you're okay. But then the next day you may be back in that same situation, and that might be an indication, you know. You may say something, you know, like, I don't know why I'm so tired. I didn't do anything, but why am I so tired? Well, it could be a minor case of depression. It could be, you know, one of the indications that you are depressed. So we need to pay more attention to these things. And one of the things I want Minister Tabika and I to cover today is some different types, different forms, different degrees of depression, different degrees. And so I'll touch on the very first one. There is situation depression. And situation depression is just as the name implies, is brought on by adverse situations. Depression usually clears with time. And as the situation is resolved or accepted, the depression dissipates. Situational depression isn't necessarily bad. Often, it's a reasonable and appropriate response to the pain of the fallen world, Lamentations chapter 3, verses 1 through 18. And I may not read all of that, but just let me read some of those verses to give you an idea about what it's. Now, listen also, y'all, there is depression throughout the Bible, okay? For those who think that Christians cannot be depressed, I'm telling you, there is depression throughout the Bible. And David, you know, the man that wrote most of the Psalms, the king, you know, the ancestor to Jesus himself, he walked through depression. But let's look here at Lamentation here real quick and see, does this fit some of the things we feel? It says, I am the man who has seen affliction under the rod of his wrath. He has driven and brought me into darkness without any light. Surely against me he turns his hand again and again the whole day long. He has made my flesh and my skin waste away. He has broken my bones. He has deceived and enveloped me with bitterness and tribulation. He has made me dwell in darkness like the dead of long ago. He has walled me about so I cannot escape. He has made my chains heavy. Though I call and cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with blocks of stone. He has made my path crooked. He is a bear lion in wait for me, a lion hiding. He turned aside my steps and tore me to pieces. He has made me desolate. Okay, I'm just going to stop right there. I'm getting depressed reading it, okay? So listen, y'all. Listen. Do you hear? This is lamentation. And that's what that book is full of. Lamenting. Oh, woe is me. I'm going through all of this stuff. Woe is me. So, again, showing you that in the Word of God, people suffered and suffered with depression. You hear how he's saying it. And listen, as I'm reading it, I see some of us feeling that way, okay? And this is just over a situation, all right? Over a situation. That was the scripture that was used for a situation depression. And then the next one I'll do, and then after that I'm ask my sweetheart to come in and share. But then next you have clinical depression. clinical depression is an ongoing condition that lasts every day for most of the day and for longer than 2 weeks. Clinical depression interferes with day-to-day life at work, school, and home. Sleep habits are also disturbed. Clinical depression can be triggered by trauma, but it is not caused by medication or a medical condition. So that is clinical depression. And again, this is something that you know that you're dealing with for, like they said, a couple of weeks. It's there almost the entire day. It interferes with your day-to-day activities and so forth and so on. So you can see it's deeper than the situation depression. And the fact that it's something that lasts for at least 2 weeks and takes up most of your day, this is a more severe case of depression. And again, it said that the clinical depression could be triggered by trauma. In your situational depression, that could be, you know, a mere situation. You didn't meet a certain goal at work or whatever the case may be. You felt like you failed, you know, so you got depressed about that thing today, okay? But tomorrow is another day and you have gone on. So you can see the different things here. Or you fell and you hurt yourself. You know, you can be depressed about that, but a temporary situation here. So you got the situation depression. You got clinical depression. Before I ask Minister Tabika if she would like to go on to the next one, please, if any of you remember, it's Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. You may press one on your keypad and speak to either one of the things we're speaking about. Praise be unto God. If there's something you want to share, you can do so. You may ask questions. I cannot promise you that we got the answers to any and all questions that may be asked, but we'll do our best. And what we don't know, we're asking Holy Spirit to reveal. And what doesn't get revealed today, we will come back and tell you because we will check it out. Amen. Minister Tabika, will you go on, darling, and pick up from there?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So the next one is chronic depression, which is less intense than the clinical depression, but it can last much longer. 2 years at least, it may last that long. And some of the symptoms are fatigue, sadness, and general malaise. I think I said that right. And it can be punctuated by bouts of clinical depression. So chronic depression doesn't feel good, but it doesn't typically affect lifestyle or the ability to work. So before the fall of man, there was no sin, no shame, no fear, and no depression. Depression is a result of the fall, and those who suffer from depression find that it has ramifications in all parts of human life, external, personal, mental, physical, and spiritual. So it says here that it is less intense than clinical because clinical interferes with day-to-day life. But although, you know, it's chronic, it can last long. You know, it may last longer than clinical depression. And, you know, some of the symptoms that is characterized, you know, or is shown with chronic is the fatigue, the sadness, and general malaise. And it can be punctuated by the bouts of clinical depression. So it's a combination, it sounds like to me, of both. And so, you know, although it doesn't feel good, it doesn't affect your lifestyle or your ability to work like clinical depression does. So it's good to know the difference between the clinical and the chronic depression. The next one is external. So depression has a strong...
Excuse me 1 second, honey, before you go on. That chronic depression, this is one of the reasons why so many can walk in that state of chronic depression, and without identifying that it is depressed, that they're mm-hmm. depressed, because of the fact that it does not affect our day-to-day lifestyle. You know, is not affecting it the way that the clinical depression can affect it. This does not affect it. People will go to work. They will go to whatever sports activity they have. They will handle themselves at home, and their depression is covered up. You know, it's covered up. And so even when they begin to feel fatigue or sadness, they keep that to themselves most of the time. And hear me, y'all. This is not in my notes, but it's what it just dropped in my spirit. This is probably the area that more suicide plays mm-hmm. from chronic depression, because of the fact that it's so well hidden that it doesn't affect their people's lifestyle. We still see them getting up, going to work, smiling and so forth and so on. We see them still doing that, that as those that are connected to them, we don't discern that they are walking in depression. How many people do we know that we've heard of, whether it's been on TV or through people that we deal with, that so-and-so committed suicide, and people saying, I didn't know that they were depressed. I didn't know that things were that bad. I didn't know. And it's because it can be hidden. And you see, it said here that the chronic depression could last for 2 years, at least 2 years. Mm-hmm. You know, so people that are dealing with that, you know, that's to me, as I looked at, you know, some of the different types of depression, only when I'm looking at it today while baby girl was reading, did the Holy Spirit say, you know, to me, that that's the area that we could find, might find, most of our suicide cases, or those contemplating it, those who wish they didn't wake up the next day, but because they are Christians will say, but I'm not going to commit suicide, but I don't want to be here. So mm-hmm. I'm sorry, honey. I just had to get that in there. God bless you, baby. Go on.
No, you're fine. You're fine. So we do have a caller, but I'm going to do this next one real quick.
Mm-hmm.
The external depression has a strong genetic component. However, many depressive episodes are triggered by an external situation. So the death of a loved one is a common trigger. Sustained stress, winter time, and even mm-hmm. a busy life can also lead to depression. Now listen to this. A busy life mm-hmm. can also lead to depression. So you think, like, how can a busy life lead to depression? Because it's like, you know, you think when most people are depressed, they are depressed over that what we just said, like the loss of a loved one or stress. And some people, they have that seasonal depression, and most of the times it happens in wintertime, because that's what the most mm-hmm. times when people are, like, shut away. It's cold outside. Nobody's really outside. Nobody's really doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
So people find themselves getting depressed over that. And because the time change where it gets darker earlier, and so that affects people as well and can cause them to become depressed. But when you think of a busy life, like, how can a busy life lead to depression? And the way that happens is because you're constantly doing. You're constantly doing something. You're never resting. You're never taking time for yourself. You know, you always find yourself doing, and, you know, going to this thing, going to that function, on the phone. You're at work, and you're at work for 12 hours a day, and then when you come home, you got to take care of the kids and your husband, and then on the weekends you have you have other functions that you may have to take care of. You may have a business that you have to give attention to. And so
mm-hmm.
when all of that happens all at once and you don't take time for yourself, that can lead to depression, because you're not taking the time to reset, basically. Mm-hmm. You're not taking the time to reset. You're not taking time for yourself. And so, and this is where the enemy bombards us too, being busy all the time.
Yeah.
The enemy bombards us with that. And so if we're always busy, you have to look at when do you have time for God? So, you know, mm-hmm. if you're always doing these things, where does God fit into that? Where does God fit into that portion of your life where you're spending time with him? And this mm-hmm. is also how the enemy gets you. If you're doing something for the ministry, right? If you're doing something for ministry, whether it's, let's just say that you have this thing that you do maybe like once a week or whatever it is, you're taking care of people, whatever it is, but you're doing it for the ministry, but you're still not taking time for yourself. You're still not spending that quality time for with God. And then the enemy will say to you, well, I mean, you are, I mean, this is church stuff, you know, you are doing something for somebody. So you okay. Just keep going. Just keep doing what it is that you're doing. But this is where you discern the spirit, because if it's telling you to keep going and keep going, but God is not the focus of it, and God, and you're not spending time with God, and you're not resting, and all of that, you can know that that's not from him, because mm-hmm. even Jesus rested, mm-hmm. you know, even he took some time mm-hmm. away for himself. So mm-hmm. just be aware of how the enemy will try to use the good things that we do, and he'll try to use that to keep us going. But if God is not in the midst of that, if you're not spending quality time with him, you got to relook at that situation and be like, hold up, no, because I haven't been in my word in a week, or I haven't been in my word in a month,
mm-hmm.
but you're doing all these things in the name of ministry. You're doing all these things, but you have not taken time to spend time with the Father. You're spending time on all these other projects. And so God looks at that. And we may think that we okay because we're doing it in the name of ministry, but he's looking at it like, but you are making time for all these other things and not me. So we have to reevaluate and pay attention to stuff like that, because that's how we get blindsided. That's how we get off track. And then that can cause depression, because now when you don't spend time with God, you can feel that. I know I can. I'm being transparent here. I know I can. When I don't spend time with God like I should, I feel it. And it feels like depression. It feels like I'm empty. It feels like I don't know, you know, I don't feel right. I feel like something's missing. And then when I take a moment and like, oh man, Lord, forgive me. I have not spent quality time with you this week, or, you know, however, whatever. It reminds mm-hmm. me like, oh, that's what's missing. That is what's missing. And as soon as I get back on track, I feel totally better. I feel
totally
refreshed. I feel, you know, just the places where I felt empty, they're being filled now. And so, yeah, so that's how that busy life can lead to depression. Go ahead.
Wait a minute, honey, before you even read that scripture, because I want to get the caller in.
It's Mark.
Yeah, let me get them in. Caller, your last four digits, 5381. Good morning, son. How are you? I'm saying
good morning. Good morning, my lovely wife.
Good morning.
Wait a minute, y'all. He wasn't talking to me when he said lovely wife. Even though I was the one that said good morning to him, and he says, good morning, my lovely wife. He wasn't talking to me.
No, I thought I said good morning, beloved, first.
Oh, I didn't hear you. All I heard was my lovely wife, and I'm like, hold up.
I'm sorry.
Thank you,
beloved,
son. Go ahead, son.
Y'all, for this episode, I was running around in hustle and bustle. We're preparing for a funeral, but I just would be remiss because this past 2 weeks has been an eye-opener for me, and I have been dealing with depression, and I was one of those who I don't know the label, and I was trying to listen in to see where I kind of fit, but it seems like there's so many parts of it, from the external, from the chronic. I've been dealing with health issues for years, and that has always plagued my mind. Why do I keep going with this? And even to the point of, God, I don't want to go through these health issues anymore. Is this just stop it? If it's just going to end, that's fine. But I masked that. A lot of times in depression, and for those listening, going through, my heart to you as well, because I know that we tend to mask it, and we have become so good at masking it that we don't even realize we've masked it from ourselves. I didn't even realize that I was depressed. I just thought I was going through. Thought I was just going through the situation and didn't feel good about it, but the realization of how far I had sunken into this bottomless pit that I was just sinking deeper and deeper into until I could acknowledge that I'm really going through something. So we do have to label it, and we do have to better understand it. So I thank y'all for even taking the time to just break down the clinical diagnosis and how it can come about. For me, like I said, my health issues have coming from 20 years ago. So to say 2 years was like, yeah, it's been way more than 2 years. And the external things, anxiety and other issues that I, sorry.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I was saying, and there's still four more forms of depression that we haven't touched on yet.
Yes, and it was crazy. And those that you did touch on, I saw parts of all of them within myself. The external,
right.
and I have been one to keep myself busy. I'm always trying to serve.
Yes,
and cooking for somebody, running here, running this, doing that, doing this, and it was always about keeping myself busy so I didn't have to admit that I was depressed, because when I got to sit down by myself, my depression would actually stand. And what I did to mask it was an addiction came about. So I began smoking. I was dealing with some medical issues, but as the depression became to come to the forefront, the best way for me that I knew at that point to mask it was to numb myself to it. So I fell to an addiction that allowed me to just numb myself to it. I was smoking marijuana to numb myself to life. I numbed myself to the feeling of depression. Even when I felt depressed, it was just like, oh, you good. You'll get through it. Smoke, you'll be up for an hour. And not realizing what I was doing was not only compounding the depression, as well as allowing that to fall onto those around me, because they started to see me falling away and started to see that there was a difference.
Yeah.
But even in myself, I would be upset when they would bring it to my attention, because I was in such a place that the enemy had, you got to deny this because you're Christian. You're not depressed. You just going through a little bit of time. And, we always say there's always light at the end of the tunnel. We say this, but when you're in depression, it doesn't matter where you are in the tunnel. There is no light. There is no light put onto depression. It doesn't matter how deep you go through the tunnel, how long you've been going through it, you don't see light. So what you do is you dig deeper and deeper trying to find something. It's like when you're lost in a dark room, the door is on the opposite side, but because you can't see, you're going further away from the door. And that's what happens in depression. You're further away from the outlet because you're still blinded. You can't see the very thing that's right there for you to get out. You can't see that God has everything for you. You can't see that the word is what you need. You can't see that what you need is just your spouse to just let them know, hey, babe, I'm really going through something. I just need you to hear me. And I thank God for my wife. I was able to let this out. The relief that I had, I saw that much pressure come off of her because she saw that something came off of me. So to those in depression, I want to tell you, it's not just about you. And I know that's hard to deal with when you're with so much, but it's not just about you, because your depression can be what will also pull on your family or pull on those around you and draw them down. So be empowered, strengthened, be encouraged. God is bringing you. God can and will bring you through, because I'm not special. I'm no more special than you are. We are all considered his children, and we are all due his blessings, and we are all due his promises. Promises say we're victorious. So don't let depression hold you. Don't let this depression keep you. Know that God has more for you, and share what's going on, because somebody can give the word that's going to help you get through. That's what I had to say. Thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you, son. God bless you. God bless you. We have another caller. Amen, son. Thank you. Looks like Prophetess Kim, not sure, but 1816. Good morning, beloved.
Amen.
How are you?
Good
Amen.
Morning.
That's
good.
My girl.
How are you all?
Good morning. Good morning,
Prophetess.
You know,
good
it's interesting because we need to talk about these things because people don't believe as believers, you know, that you can deal with depression or whatever you want to call. And I found myself, and I missed part of the call because I got a call, so I don't know what I missed. But nevertheless, I found myself in the month of January, we always start our fast. So the whole month of January, I was fasting, praying, but I felt so discouraged, and I felt so heavy. And I knew there's always a spiritual side to it, and there's also the natural side. So we have to address both. And like the one who just said that we have to share with people. And I'm like, okay, Lord, what is going on? I'm fasting and I'm talking about I'm fasting and praying. You know, I'm like in the, you know, seeking God in the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like I
mm-hmm.
could not shake it. No, I just felt over bombarded with discouragement, and I told one of my friends, I said, listen, I don't know what's going on, I said, but I just need you praying, because it's like there was no words, there was nothing that could was shaking this off. So I said, no, this is natural, but it's also spiritual, I said, because I'm not one who really gets discouraged and just stay there. Like, I shake it off, I move through it, I press, and I'm good. But it's like I couldn't shake it. So I shared with her, and I went in the Word, and I said, Jesus, just as you told Simon that the enemy wanted to sift him as wheat, but you prayed for him. I said, Jesus, I am calling on you, the great intercessor, because I don't have the words to pray. I don't have anything to say. I don't know what to do at this point, but I know that this is not coming from you, and it has to go. And it took me the entire month. I am just now starting to get back to, you know, you know, my normal feeling of self. So it was like a month long, and I'm saying it to say we can be saved, we can be sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, and all of that, and still deal with depression and discouragement due to life, due to things going on. And I know it was a trick of the enemy. Because there are things that I know God has promised me, and I know what God said, and I know that God doesn't lie, but it's like he was trying to bombard me to cause me to want to give up or be discouraged and feel some kind of way. And I had to just keep pushing through it. It wasn't easy, but I just kept pushing because I said, I know where this is coming from, and I know what God said. And it, you know, it can be a challenge. So we have to, like he said, share with people when you're feeling certain things. We have to stay in his word, stay in his presence, even in the midst of it all. Because David, if you read the Psalms, David was depressed at points. Like he had to encourage himself. He was my soul so discomforted. So we know Elijah ran in a cave. So we know that it's real. But we have to deal with this stuff. We have to be honest with ourselves. And I'm sharing because it's a real situation. If you or I, who are quote-unquote spiritually mature men and women of God, are dealing with these things.
Come on, come on.
And I'm saying for myself, because I was praying and fasting for the month of June. January. And in the midst of being on a fast and all of those. So you're doing these things, but yet still feeling some kind of way. So it's very real, and it needs to be addressed more in the body of Christ. Because, and I said, you know, God, and as I'm coming out of it, I said, this is why a lot of believers never receive the promises of God, because the enemy will come in and bombard you with discouragement and have you feeling depressed and down to the point where you just give up or you settle or you compromise and take less than what God said. But I refuse, even in the midst of that, I said, I refuse to compromise. I refuse to stand down. I just refuse it. So even in the midst of it, it's hard, but I said, this is why we don't
get what God has for us a lot of times, because the enemy will slip in any way he can. He will steal, kill, steal, and destroy. If he can steal your joy, if he can steal your praise, whatever he can take to take, get you off course and steal what God has for you, you know, he will do it. So we have to be very wise in how we deal with, you know, because it's a trick of the enemy, and we have to do the natural things. Like you said, we have to take care of ourselves. We have to take time for ourselves. We take yourself to lunch or dinner. Take yourself and get a massage. If you can't afford to get one, fix your dinner at home. Get yourself a bubble bath, whatever you need to do, and stay in God's word and stay in his presence. Have your worship music, because those are the things that will truly get us through, you know, these times and phases in our life. And I mean, it really is like, and I even told my girlfriend, I said, you know, I know this is like a serious bombardment. And I said, God must be about to move mightily, because I don't feel like this. This is like way out of the norm for me, but I could not shake it off. I'm telling you, for the whole fast. It wasn't until the last week of the fast I started feeling the shift. So I'm just sharing, you know, that we need to be real and tell the truth and shame the devil, that we can deal with discouragement, depression, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And I kept saying that scripture. I said, God, my heart will not be sick. I refuse. And I just had to, I stayed in the word. But, you know, it took some pushing and some pressure and intercession.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just wanted to, you know, share that with you all and thank God for addressing this topic, because it needs to be dealt with.
Amen. Thank you so much, Prophetess.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
And I have one more caller that I want to bring on, and we're not going to get all of this done by 10 o'clock. So we will revisit this next week, and I would encourage you, because we, like I said, we got about four or five more types of depression to go through. I would encourage you, please, anyone that you know that might be suffering, someone that could benefit from this, please get them to the line next week. Let me bring this caller in. Caller, your last four digits, 9087. Good morning, beloved. How are you?
Good morning, beloved. Good morning, Minister Tabika.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was listening to the first items that you were talking about, the different forms of depression. And I was sitting here thinking while y'all were talking, I was like, wow. Like Minister Mark said, some of each one that you spoke about hit home for me. And it really started getting bad for me, and I hate to say this, God forgive me. My godson has depression. Manic depression and schizophrenia. And he has been living with me for the last year because his caretaker is in assisted living. And I could feel the chaos in my home, but didn't know how to address it. So when I would get off from work, the first thing I would do was get in the bed. I just wanted to just leave me alone. I just wanted to be in the bed, left alone, and just slept. That's all I did. I would eat my dinner early, and I would just sleep. So last week, my godson tried to kill himself. So that was another thing that jumped on my shoulders. I was just, I can't deal. So they only kept him a couple of days, and they let him go. And I was like, I couldn't grasp why if someone tried to kill himself, you would let him go in 72 hours, especially if the police took him to the facility. But they was like, well, he volunteered, you know, he signed himself in so he can leave the 72 hours. So I reached out to his natural mother, who never was really in his life. So we discussed everything dealing with him. So on Wednesday, they came and got all his things, and he's living with his natural mother. And I told her I made a tap sound on a table, like a knock sound. She said, what's that? I said, I'm tapping out. I said, I've been going through this for 27 years, helping to raise your son. I'm tired. I can't do it anymore. It's time that you and his father step up. So, like I said, they came and got us things. Well, Wednesday or even Thursday, they came and got us stuff Wednesday. So Thursday I was in my room working, and I happened to look over, and I saw a dark shadow peeping in my room. And I said, oh, the devil is a liar. I was like, I got up, pulled my blinds up, opened my window. I walked through whatever it was. And went in my room, got my blessed soul, I anointed my feet, my hands, and my forehead, and I started walking around upstairs. I anointed my son's door. He was in the room asleep. I anointed his door, and I started praying and speaking in tongues and just walking around the house, just, you know, and I came back in my room, and I said, look, I've told you before. I said, if anybody heard me, I guess they're probably like, oh, yeah, she's crazy. She needs to go. But I was telling the spirit, I told you before, you don't reside here. You don't live here. You didn't get an invitation. I said, my godson no longer lives here. So therefore, you can't be here. I do not want these spirits of depression and anxiety and you got to go. So I was standing in front of my window. You know how you do the little loop and you're pointing for somebody to exit. That's what I was doing. And I said, if somebody come down the street and see me standing in the window, where is she dancing? What is she doing? No, I'm telling her to get out because I don't want that feeling anymore. And for the first time in I don't know how long, when I say I slept, I felt peace. And I slept. And I was like, thank you, Jesus. And still listening to what y'all were saying, I'm still going to reach out to a therapist because I still have some anxiety from I caught COVID and pneumonia, and I was in a hospital in rehab for a month. And still being confined bothers me sometimes and not being able to communicate or whatever the case may be. So I am going to reach out to a therapist for that aspect. But these depression spirits is no joke. And like Minister Mark said, if you feel talk to somebody, anybody that will listen and give you some good advice. You know, you might not be in the church. That's okay. But if you know a minister or you just go to church, it's like, you know I don't belong here, but I'm feeling depressed. I don't know what to do, whatever the case may be. Because, like I said, it's no joke. He tried to kill himself due to the fact that he started suffering with sickle cell and the mental issues and being deserted by his mom and dad. And a lot of his friends over the years have died from sickle cell. He's made a lot of friends with people through university that has sickle cell, and a lot of them has died. So he's upset about that. You know, his friends are dying around him. So I just ask that y'all keep Delmont Gardner in prayer that everything will work out for him.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, beloved. Thank you for sharing. We really appreciate
it. You're welcome.
I also, beloved, I wanted to point out to all of you, every single person that spoke this morning, every single one is a minister, okay? You know, from myself, to Elder Mark, Minister Tabika, Deacon Farr, Minister Prophetess Kim, Prophetess Kim, and here we have Bridget. Every last one of these people are ministers. So, and I'm telling you that because, you know, people have the tendency to think because we are ordained or licensed, got a title, whatever the case may be, again, that we can't be touched by this or we are not touched by it. Or they feel that, you know, people feel that they can't come to us and say anything because we would not understand. I want you to hear me when I say every single one of us are ministers of the gospel, okay? We're all ministers of the gospel, and we have felt this. And again, we go back to David, you know, being depressed and others in the Bible being depressed. And these were men and women of God, men and women of God. Well, beloved, look, I hate to leave y'all at this time, but look, this is the end of our time. We will pick back up on this on next week. I promise you, we're going to get through this. And there are many other things that we'll be dealing with, you know, whether it's next week or or the week afterwards. But please call your friends and families, you know, tell them to join us again next week at 9 a.m. here on Blog Talk Radio. And we are going to discuss these things, but besides discussing them, we will be praying, amen, and canceling the assignment of the devil. We will be canceling the assignment of the devil. And we do encourage you, spiritually, you need help, and in the natural, chemical imbalance, you may need medication, you may need therapy, whatever the case may be. So come back next week on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. Know that I love you with all my heart, but no matter how much I love you, know that God loves you more. Adios, amigas. Bye-bye, Tabika. God love you. God bless you, and God does love you.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life, Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.